Before I forget, I want to say one thing. Remember what he was just talking about, sustained revival? That we don't want revival to just come and then go. We want a sustained revival. If you look at Proverbs 27, verse 7, this is it in a nutshell. I heard this and I was like, that's it. This is good. This is how you sustain revival. And this is not what I'm going to preach, but when he said this, it was like, yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. Proverbs 27, verse 7. The full soul loatheth or hates the honeycomb. But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Now, how many of you know that sometimes the Lord masks something sweet with a covering of bitterness? And it kind of keeps us who are hungry, you know, just searching after even that hard thing. Sometimes when judgments come, and how many of you, I'm not going to preach on this either, but this is something the Lord's been saying to me right now. Judgments, the word judgments, don't you go, but yet Psalm 119 says, I love your judgments. And we should be a people that are growing into that place where we say, Lord, I embrace your judgment. I embrace your chastening. I embrace your correction, because then I know I'm a son and I'm a daughter, that you're my God and you only do things well and you're good. And so what do I have to lose except all the junk that keeps you from me and keeps my spirit from really reaching after you? So that Proverbs 27, it's like, you know what? I've heard this said, and I love this little phrase. What we know can keep us from what we need to know. Write that one down. What we know, we become experts on. We think we got it together. But it can keep us from what we need to know. As he was saying, God gives revelation. He unfolds a vision. He unfolds his word to us. But then it's like layers. Little by little, little by little, he gives us more. Because we can't take it all right now. He gives us what we need, but then he adds to it. And it's a richness that there's no sorrow to that. Well, anyway, back to what I started saying at the very beginning. The reason, he was talking about honoring. And I really sense what I keep hearing going over in my head is that the Lord is saying, Living Word Fellowship, I'm bringing you from being a church to a family. From a church to a family. Now, a church is a living organism. But a family is a living organism that there's more to. I have this round plaque that I cross-stitched when my kids were really little. They weren't too little because I had all five of them by that time. But it says, family, where each lives for the other and all live for God. And then I put each kid's name and our names on there. That's family. And God, at this time, he's establishing us, church, into a family where there's a culture of faith and a culture of honor. I'm not exactly sure what that all looks like, but it's more than what we have now. I know that. How many of you are sensing or are living revival? I'm living a revival lifestyle right now. I'm not waiting for God to do something because he's already done it. But I'm living in it right now. And every day I get up and I'm more and more alive because I'm looking at his promises and saying, wow. I'm not looking at them anymore and saying, oh, well, look at that one. That didn't come through. Because that's where I was at for years and years and years and years and years. And he's stirring me to believe. And we're reading that book, Believe in God. It's good, isn't it? It's good. It stirs us. But we're living. We are becoming. We're bringing into this area a culture of faith where we take God at his word. Everything he says, he can do. And everything he says about me, it's true. Maybe we should write a song. But he's also making us into a culture of honor, where we honor one another, we esteem one another. And if you want to hear more about that, you can hear the tape last week, because that was really good about pulling out the redemption in others rather than looking around and seeing the negative and all the darkness and adding to the darkness and adding to the darkness. That's why our community is so dark. It's because we've all joined in and said, it's not going on. But we're to turn on the light when there's darkness. Simple. Electricity's been invented, right? We don't have to invent electricity. Thank God. All I had to do is turn on a light switch. And if it doesn't work, I go to my husband and say, But if my light doesn't work, I can go to the Father and say, why not? Nothing wrong with you. What's wrong with me? So anyway, it's a culture of faith and a culture of honor. And I don't know about him, but I'm going to be, this is what I'm living right now. I'm asking God, what does that look like? So anytime I speak to you, you're probably going to be hearing these things over and over again, whether they're here or upstairs in a class or when I just meet you, because that's what I'm chewing on right now, is a culture of faith and a culture of honor. Simple things like he allows faith challenges, right? Sometimes we used to call these attacks. We used to call them harassments from the enemy. And these were definitely from the enemy, because God is good. He can't give us anything bad. But yet he can allow some things to happen to us, but it's only for our good. And it's only for our growth. So we can get rid of the garbage that's in our lives and have more room for his Spirit, which is what we want, more of his presence. But We've seen before Jude, there's only one chapter in Jude, but it's verse 16. It builds, when we pray in the Holy Ghost, it builds our faith. So when I'm asking the Lord, how do I build a culture of faith, which is what I've been thinking so much about, it's, well, you pray in the Holy Ghost. It builds your faith. That's good. We've been doing that. Yeah. Okay. Deuteronomy 8. 2. I don't know if we have anybody upstairs at all, but you may have to open your Bibles. Deuteronomy 8, 2. I didn't write this one, but this is a good one to look at. This is another reason why he gives us faith challenges. I don't want to say attacks or anything like that. He's challenging us, church. When he allows something to happen in our lives, it's because he wants to expand us and give us more. Look at Job. Look at Job. God only wants to prosper us in a way that will expand his kingdom. So Deuteronomy 8, 2, the Lord allows some things. This is one reason for a challenge of our faith. And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God led thee. He was talking to the Israelites, these 40 years in wilderness, to humble thee. That's a good thing. Everybody say, humbling is good. Remember, the meek shall inherit the earth. To walk in meekness, to walk in humility is good. So don't look at that like he's trying to mess me up. Well, if we need messing up, okay. But it's to humble us and to prove us, to know what's in our heart, whether we'll keep his commands or not. He's a loving Father who wants to show us those areas that are going to trip us up. How many of you, when you see your child or your grandchild or even anybody's child walking with their laces untied, don't you normally say your laces are untied? Because you don't want them to fall and get tripped up. That's our loving Father. So anyway, that's one of the reasons. I think it's 1 Chronicles 16:9, or is it 2nd? First, because my computer didn't bring that one out. But he also wants to show himself strong on our behalf. 1 Chronicles 16:9, I think it is. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, not to zap us, not to find our faults and smash us, but he wants to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts loyal to him. That's pretty good. He's safe. That's something we've got to just remind ourselves. He's a safe God. We can run to him. And then Psalm 103, verse 20. I've stood up here before, and I'm going to preach this until I catch it. Bless the Lord, you His angels who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word in our mouths, though. We set our angels into action when we proclaim the word. And when do we need to proclaim the word the most? When we're going through stuff, faith challenges. That's when we need to proclaim the word. And sometimes that's the hardest thing to do. But you know what? If we've made it a habit to get into the word and to proclaim it even in the good times, then we'll have a habit of doing so. And then we're going to, when a faith challenge comes at us, not an attack, but a challenge, can we see it as an opportunity to get our angels activated? And then we know Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please God. So when we get our faith activated and we arise to the faith challenge, we're pleasing God. And you know what? We can worship Him, we can praise Him, but man, do we bring delight to His heart when we walk in faith and not darkness. When we choose to find the redemption in somebody rather than to find the faults. That delights the Lord. But then at the end of that verse, I love this. This was something from Beth Moore in her book in the second chapter that we're doing right now. It gives God endless opportunities to reward us. Wow. Hebrews 11:6, the second part of it. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do you believe God wants to reward you? Probably more than we can imagine, more than we can ask or think. He wants to reward us. Now, we get caught on the rewards and we go, well, I don't see a lot of that. Doesn't matter. He wants to reward us. Maybe he's just waiting for us to get these faith challenges into a habit instead of just a spontaneous, oh, I caught that one by the skin of my teeth. But when we start really walking in that, we're bringing the light into the darkness in our lives. Now, listen to this one. This is so cool. Isaiah 49:8. This is the one I am cooking over. Every time I go into prayer, every time I go into worship and soaking. Isaiah 49:8 is incredible. Because this is one of the reasons why he's giving us faith challenges. In an acceptable time, I have heard you. And in the day of salvation, I've helped you. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people, to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages. Has anybody caught that? He's already given us salvation, right? Raise your hand if you have salvation. Raise your hand if you believe that he's accomplished everything. He has. He's given us every precious promise. And now he's giving us, you and me, as a covenant to the people. I don't know what that means. Wow. But I'm holding that before the Lord and saying, would you show me what that means? You're giving me as a covenant to those unsaved people? Wow. And you want me to restore the earth? To cause them to inherit their desolate heritages? That's my role. The Amplified, where it says to restore the earth, the Amplified says to raise up and establish the land from its present state of ruin. Does that kind of open up your understanding a little bit more? We're talking about bringing the light into the darkness. We're talking about redeeming our land. How are we going to do it? We have been offered this faith challenge. And it's as simple as proclaiming what the Word says. Not what I think, not what I see, not what I've walked in before. But it's to bring it forth because He said so. And for us to just pray for people, to be there for people, to when they say something negative, we can say, oh, but God, my God is good. My God. That's our job. But how many of you, have said in your lives, I've done that and it doesn't work? I don't see any other hands, but mine's up. Because I'm a person, or I was a person, that when I was 17 and I was riding down the road with this guy, and he was going, we're on bikes. Do you remember that on Massachusetts Avenue? We're riding bikes, and he was going downhill, and he's going, oh, isn't this great? And I'm going, oh, we've got to come back up the hill. What if, you know, and so that's how I was trained to think when I was growing up. I was always trained to think of the negatives. He's not like that. He's good for me. Because now it's like, uh-uh. I can always look at a something like this and go, well, what if God doesn't come through? Okay. Let's go to Exodus 17:1. And this is something that the Lord was showing me this week when I was reading. It's like, huh, never saw it this way before. Remember, there's one interpretation but many applications. So I'm going to show you how the Lord applied this to me. It was when the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin. They went from one place to the next, according to the commandment of the Lord, and they camped in Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Oh, dear. Therefore, the people contended with Moses, because what else are you going to do when you don't find your provision? You blame the leadership or you blame God, right? I mean, isn't that what we do in this world? We blame somebody else. Whenever something happens, the news media has taught us, I think, we've got it in us. We all take the blame. We immediately jump to conclusions and we blame. We do. We have to find blame. Now, there are times, of course, where we want to make something better, so we look to find the fault and correct it. But this is not... If you look at this situation a little bit differently, I think you'll see something differently. It says the people contended with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. Come on, Moses. Come through for us. And so Moses said to them, why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord? And what they're really saying is, where is God when we need him? Anybody else ever say that? God, I prayed for people. Where are you? Where are you? Why didn't you come through? So the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained, and that's normally our tactic, and said, why is it that you brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children or lives that would thirst? And oh, God, you've forgotten us. Must be, we got to wait till the millennium to find healing. But let me ask you, who's going to need it then? Okay, so Moses cried out to the Lord saying, what shall I do with this people? They're almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel and take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock. On the rock. And you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it that the people may drink. Who's the rock of our salvation? Okay, now remember, this is Old Testament story. So Jesus hadn't come to earth. He hadn't talked to the Samaritan woman at the well. Can we go there for a minute? John 4. I don't know how this is all going to flow together yet, but we're going to jump. John 4. This is another lady where we're seeing talk about water come forth. I want to show you an Old Testament compared to a New Testament reality. The Old Testament did not have salvation yet. Salvation came through Jesus Christ, right? So when God told Moses to strike the rock, it was a picture of what was going to happen, okay? So Jesus was stricken for us. He fulfilled everything that needed to be done. But this was, John 4 is a New Testament. Jesus is telling us something here about what's going to happen when you drink from the river that from him. Okay? John 4, verse 10. You know it? It's a story about the Samaritan woman coming and she gives Jesus a drink and whatever. And Jesus said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink.'" Okay? Remember, a drink is a little gulp, right? It's a gulp. "You would have asked him and he would have given you living water." So when you came to Jesus, you got something that was alive in you, right? Okay, verse 13, jump down to that. "Jesus answered and said to her, 'Whoever drinks of this water,'" anybody do that? "If you have salvation, you have partaken of that water." Listen, "you'll never thirst again." You're never going to thirst again. "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him," okay, "we'll never thirst. Wait a minute. "But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water." That little thirst, that little gulp that you took is a fountain. It's a river in your belly. How does that happen? He's God. He's awesome. We just took a little drink, and we're not going to be thirsty anymore. Okay, I don't know if anyone's catching any of this stuff, but we've got everything we need in us. It's not like it's going to happen pie in the sky by and by, or maybe some days in the future when he's going to pour out. He's already poured out. We just got to catch up in our belief system and realize we've got it. We've got it. We've got the river of life flowing out of us. But go back to Exodus 17 for a second. Because you know what happened, that Moses struck the rock and water came out, and that was good. And then as I was we'll see how the Lord gave us victory in that place. He gave them victory over the contentions. I'm not sure what verse this is. 7, maybe? "So he called the name of the place Massa and Meribah because of the contention of the children of Israel." Contention is that which attacks our faith or attacks us from walking in faith, isn't it? It's something that contends the wrong. It's not a contending for the things of God. It's a contention. It's a crossing. It's that which takes away from our faith. It's that which crosses our faith and says, "Oh, you can't go forward because you don't have anything." Okay? And the Lord is saying that we've got everything we need there, okay? Moses, the Lord called that place. That was a place of contention, but get over it kind of thing, okay? Now, if we keep on reading verse 8 and the rest of that chapter, I was asking the Lord, why did you put this chapter, did you create this chapter like this? It's all about the story where Moses told Joshua, the new generation, to go out and fight the battle. Right? And every time Moses had his hands lifted up, they prevailed. And every time the hands got heavy, the battle came against them. And so Aaron and Hur lifted up Moses' hands. And I was sensing like the Lord was saying, you know what? Amalek is like those temptations. The word means contentions. It means temptations. Those things that come against us. If we will lift up, this is a how-to. How to deal with those things that are coming to attack our faith. We lift up praise. We lift up worship. We lift up a shout. We lift up speaking in tongues and edifying ourselves and building ourselves up in our most precious faith. We lift up all these things to the Lord. And when we're heavy, when I'm noticing one of you, or when I'm kind of like down and getting under it, speak to me. Lift up my hands and say, come on, worship. Get out of what you're in it. Because it's only detrimental to you. And it's not going to build your faith. It's not going to allow for an attitude or a culture of faith that we're looking for. God is saying, bring in a culture and of faith and honor. Bring it in. We are the ones to bring it in. Don't wait for God to do this, because he's already prevailed. He's already done his job. He went to the cross and died, resurrected in full power. Now he's saying to us, come on, rise up, church. I want you to do it. But you've held back because of the what ifs. God doesn't come through. That doesn't matter. Because you know what? If people don't get healed, not only is it not our problem, it's his. But it was an opportunity for us to show his love. We were up at a conference. We've told you about it, where Bob Jones went up to heaven in 1970-something. He had a heart attack, went up to heaven, stood before the Lord, and the Lord said, did you love? That's the question we're going to be asked. Did we love those people who spoke against us? Did we love? Did we turn on the light? Because in his light is his love. Did we bring light into the area? You know, when something comes against us, did we join in with it, or did we bring love to the situation? And I want to give you a couple other scriptures, because I'm not walking in this yet, but I want to. I'm on tiptoes, because I know there's so much more that God wants to do, and it's not, the problem's not on his side. He's done it all. The problem's with me. So I want to give you a couple more scriptures that blow my mind. Colossians 2:10. And as we soak on these scriptures, see, the whole thing is about encounter, isn't it? You've been hearing us say that. How do you get, it's connecting with God. We can go through life. I did it for years and years and years, going through life thinking I had God, had a relationship God with God. But he's saying, but you didn't really connect with me in the way I want to connect with you. And how do we do that? We do it by speaking in tongues and edifying ourselves. Sometimes that will do it. Sometimes it won't. You have to find your way on that particular day. Every day is different for me. Sometimes it's praying in tongues, praying in tongues, praying in tongues until I get that connection. Other times it's reading the word. Reading it until it connects. And it's like, oh, wow, God, this is good. Oh, tell me more. This is good. But sometimes it's just soaking. It's putting on a CD that blesses him, that honors him, that helps me to focus on him. And sometimes, you know what? I just listen. And I don't worship him, which is the fourth thing you can do. There's probably a lot of other things. But those, for me, are my four things. Worshiping, singing praise to him. I make a throne for him so that he will have a resting place in me. Sometimes that really connects real well. But other times it's just soaking. And when you soak, when you're receiving something, it's really hard to receive when your mouth is going. Sometimes you just have to shut up. I never said that to my children. Sometimes we just have to shut our mouth and just receive. But whatever works for you is what you need to find that place for that day, because it might be different every time. But do that until your faith is built. The faith to deal, to walk in the light, and to believe him at everything he says. I'm looking at these scriptures, Colossians 2:10. I'm going, wow. It says, and you are complete in him. Me? I don't feel complete. I don't feel like I've got it all together. But he said it. You know what the Amplify says? And you are in him, made full, and having come to fullness of life in Christ, you too are filled with the Godhead. You have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit within you, ready to deal with every situation. When you need a daddy, he's there. When you need a bridegroom, he's there. When you need a Holy Spirit to bring you into more and more and more, he's there. Tap into it. We've got this within us. We have... You're all looking at me like, yeah, okay. Take this scripture, please. Take it before the Lord and say, Lord, show me what you mean by this. I am complete in you. I am complete. What does that leave room for? No. Nothing else. I'm complete in him. I have everything that I need. Wow. Go to, this is another good one. Go to 2 Peter 1, verses 2 to 4. I'm just giving you challenges today because these are things that are challenging me right now. It's challenging me to stay before the Lord and say, Lord, I don't understand what this means. This is too hard for me. This is too high for me. You've given me everything? Wow. Grace and peace be multiplied to me in the knowledge of God. So how do I get more grace? How do I get more peace? Press into the knowledge. Press into learning about the Lord. That way I'm going to have more grace and more peace. When you're going through a lousy situation, stop thinking about the lousy situation and think about the Lord. And what he wants to show you, what he wants to reveal himself as. Remember, he's a good God. Get your eyes off your circumstance and look up at him, because he's so awesome. In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things. Is this saying he's going to give it to us? It says he's done it. He's given it to us. All things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him again. Wow. Who called us by glory and virtue by which have been given to us. They've been given to us. They're not going to be given to us. You know what? We're supposed to walk in our promised land. We're not supposed to walk around the wilderness for 40 years or 80 years. We're supposed to get there. Those Israelites did not. They had the pillar and the cloud. They had God there. But you know what? Hebrews says that we have a greater covenant. If they can eventually get to their promised land, wow, what does that say to us? We are living in a new and better covenant. Hebrews says that. I didn't say it. Hebrews did. So this is a challenge to stop. What I'm trying to practice is not begging God for more of him, because I have it. I'm just trying to make room in my life for more of him. Sometimes that's difficult with new babies. I understand that. But even take the time when you're feeding the baby to take time with the Lord. Just dwell on him. I was challenged recently. I heard somebody say that when they tuck in their children and their grandchildren to bed at night, they say, let's pray and ask the Lord if he has anything impossible he wants you to do for him tomorrow. What word stopped you? Impossible. I don't go there. But he wants me to. Isn't that cool? We need to challenge ourselves. We need to challenge our children that God has something so awesome for them to do for him and with him. Everything that Jesus did on this earth, wasn't it pretty awesome? Shake your heads. That's an easy one. Yeah. But he says greater things. And how do we get into these greater things? What stops us? Faith. I don't have it yet. Start proclaiming it. Start walking in it. Start bringing the light into the darkness. And I know I've said some of these things over and over, but I'm not there yet. So I'm saying it to me. I'm saying it to all of you because I so want our church to bring forth light into our community, because there's so many out there. There's even other churches that have not yet come into the realm of the impossible. And I want to see them come into it too. I want to see the New Age people come in. I want to see those that are totally rebellious come into the things of God. Because when I look at somebody that is rebellious, and that's some of you know, it's really obvious. If you're seeing into the spirit, you can tell. They're walking in rebellion. But you know what? What I'm seeing is chains around them. We need to pull them out of the darkness. Pull them out of the enemy's camp if we can. Sometimes there's a season of time where God says, just do it in your prayer closet. But don't see others as the enemy. See the enemy as the enemy. But don't even look at him, because there's so much more to look at with the Lord. He's got so much for us. And I'm feeling like we're on tiptoes, but he's saying it's right within reach. Come on, up the ladder. You can do it. Just arise to the challenge. Arise to his calling. He's saying, come up. He's saying you can do more than you could ever imagine or think, because he wants to do it through us. And we don't have to wait for an invitation. We've already gotten it. I know in the past, see, the Lord gave us a word when Deb was going through that. He gave us a word. That was a season of time where we learned that to walk out of that thing and not have a word, but to say, oh, she's going to live, that would have been presumption. But he gave us a word that she was going to live and he was going to bring forth all sorts of great things within her, and we needed to proclaim that, and we did. He was so gracious to give us that word, but I'm not, and I preached with great eloquence in those days that don't step out until you get a word. I'm not sure if I believe that anymore. This is a new day. This is a new day, and what he's revealing to us now is that we have the all within us. And our job is to pray. When, you know what? We should be looking around for opportunities. We shouldn't wait for people to come to us, but we should be looking for opportunities where we see people locked up, and when we see people that are limping or whatever, to stretch our faith. Why not? And if they don't get healed, we don't need to be those that are arrogant. Watch the arrogance. Get rid of the arrogance as soon as you see it. There's a lot of scriptures in there about arrogance. We don't want that. But it's that humble, the humility. We walk in that humility to share his love. That's what we want to do. We just want to share his love and all that comes with that. If they get healed, whoa, it's awesome. We're believing for a day. I've told you that a church in Reading is a cancer-free zone. They are believing God for 100%. People come to that area, they get healed of cancer. I just heard a powerful testimony. I wish I had time to play it for you. This lady was on her deathbed. Man, she couldn't do anything. She was just like, they brought her in. She got healed completely. And the doctors are saying, nothing but a miracle. But you know what? They've been practicing faith. They've been practicing a culture of faith and a culture of honor. But it begins with us, each one of us, practicing it. and bringing it forth when we begin to get negative, when we begin to get kind of in the molly grubs or depressed. What do you do with that? You fight it with praise, thinking about how awesome the Lord is. Now, I know that's difficult. I know I'm not trying to make light of some of these things because sometimes it's really, really a fight. But you know what? Without a big fight, you're not going to have a big win. And sometimes you have to really press in. But His grace is there. And sometimes the battle is continuous and it doesn't seem to stop. I mean, we've all been through that kind of stuff where sometimes it seems like years. But I'm telling you, there's no reason to ever doubt His word. There's no call ever to say, well, it didn't work. We've got that river of life because we took a drink of living water, and that living water is within us. We've got the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, please don't be arrogant when you go out, but just realize and wonder. We need to be the sign and the wonder where we go, oh, wow. I think that's the wonder He wants us to be. Wow, God. You are awesome. Don't ever allow your life to get humdrum. Stir it up. It says, spring up, O well. Stir it up. Draw from the wells of salvation. The joy of the Lord is your strength, but you've got to activate the joy. And we've got to respond to Him. We've got to respond to everything He says. But you know what? I'm just so amazed. Look at John 17:3. Do you know when eternal life started for you? When did you enter the kingdom of heaven? When you first got saved. So we are seated in heavenly places. But John 17:3 is a really, really good verse to remember. Because it talks about eternal life, talks about heaven. This is what heaven is. This is what eternal life is. That they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. That's eternal life. We've got it. We've got eternal life within us. You should all be jumping up and down. Or are you just like, wow, weighty glory? Everything that He's given us in the past, I know we went through a time where people got the different manifestations. They haven't left you. They're there within you, but you need to stir them up. How many of you have ever been in a relationship with another person and you found your love to grow cold? It does if you don't keep stirring the flame. It will. And it's the same way with those things within us. They'll grow cold. Those manifestations, I'm not looking for the manifestation, but yet I want to have the experience. Whatever He gives me, I want to take. We need to experience God. It's not an emotional thing because it's life. And I live, and I move, and I breathe, and I have my being. So whatever He wants to stir up, allow Him to stir, but ask Him for it. Spring it up. We have to activate it. I think we're going to be so surprised when we realize, when we finally catch it, how much He's already given us everything. That's what I want to leave with you today. Just do whatever you can to stir it up. He's already given it to us. Don't wait for some day when God's going to drop it out of heaven. He's already given us everything. And He says, walk on this earth like I walked on the earth because you've got Holy Spirit. You've got me in you. And don't be afraid. But these scriptures that make you honestly say, what if? Or if they make you doubt, take it to Him and say, God, this causes me to doubt. or this causes me to fear, or what if, you know, I get angry, or I can't do this, God. Go to Him. Confess it and stay in that place of working it through with God until you get the victory. Don't let the enemy tell you you got to do this, that, and the other thing. We've got it all with the Lord. Let Him work you over. It's a good thing. It's a good thing when He shows you something, a big fear in your life that stops you dead in your tracks. That's when you say, okay, God, I confess I've got fear in my life. I want to get rid of it. I want to stay here until we work it out together. Give me promises. Show me the promises in your word. Perfect love casts out all fear. So I want to look at your perfect love, Lord, until I have no more fear left. Just stay with God. Stay there. This season that we're in, He's really bringing us to a total dependence on Him, that nothing is going to work that we bring up with our own selves. It's not by works. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by His Spirit. And so this is going to be a spiritual thing. And He just reminded me yesterday when I was typing this thing up. He said this to me and it was like, wow, that was cool. I like that. If you want supernatural results, you must learn to trust in the supernatural preparation. Supernatural results come from a supernatural people who are supernaturally prepared. I want to see supernatural results. I want to see people healed. I want to see people delivered and set free. I want to see every promise that's in, what is it, Isaiah 60 or something, arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. It's done. Okay? The glory of the Lord is there. And then the whole list of things that He wants us to just do. It's already done. But we have to do it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, God is so good. But if we want the supernatural results, we have to prepare ourselves in a supernatural way. And what is that way? It's allowing all those props to leave. Everything that we used to depend on. And it's getting before the Lord. And it's soaking, or it's worshiping, or it's reading the Word, meditating on the Word, or it's in tongues. It's a supernatural thing. Ask the Lord how to prepare supernaturally so that you can have supernatural results. Ask Him, because it might be different for you. It might be different tomorrow for you from the next day. But it's a supernatural thing. But you must take time for Him. And I had gotten so many words over the years. There were two words that came to me at my ordination from Lucille Wilson. And then when you were installed as a pastor officially here way back when, I got a specific word from Irene Welch, but they were the same words. And it said, count your time with the Lord as precious. And don't allow anything else to take away from that. And so for all the years, I let everything else take away from that. Stuff. You know, you all have that. But over the past 4 or 5 years, we've just taken the time. In the morning, taking the time. In the afternoon, to get a hold of God. And to say, okay, God, what is it? And I'm telling you, there's been more change than I know within me over the past couple years than over all those years when I tried to work things out. And He's saying to us as a church, He's saying to the church universal, nothing's going to work except by My Spirit, says the Lord. So how many of you really want to be a family that brings in a culture of faith and a culture of honor? It's going to take supernatural preparation. It's going to take a supernatural people to really pay the price and say, God, I can't do this on my own. This is your show. You do it. Work it in me. I found that today I was noticing a negative. Or whatever he says to you, he shows you that searchlight. Be quick. Be quick to say, Lord, would you root that thing out of me? I want every bit, wherever that came from, the root of that, get rid of it, because I want a people that brings forth your praise and your presence. I want to be a part of a church that does that. And I know I'm somewhat speaking to the choir, because you're all going after the Lord, but I'm just challenging you. There's more. There's more. And he wants to do so much more through us, and he wants to use us. And he also wants to use other churches, that good things are happening. And we need to be a people that allow the light of the Lord and the love of the Lord to be our portion, and that we honor him more than anything else. Don't let anything else get in the way. So go tomorrow, today, whenever you can, and look at some of those scriptures where he's calling you to greatness. Look at those things and go, whoa, God, how are you going to do this? But I'm going to stay here in your presence every day, and I'm going to allow you to work in me. Amen? Amen. You want to close it? Do you want me to?
Years ago, I preached a message on One More Night with the Frogs. Some of you might remember it. But the situation was, there was an attack of frogs coming at Pharaoh, and Moses went to him. He says, God wants to take care of that. When do you want it done? He said, tomorrow. And it's a prophetic picture of how the enemy wants us to think. Tomorrow, I'll have enough anointing to heal the sick, or tomorrow, you know, it'll be better than today. Tomorrow, God might come, you know, that sort of thing. But my Bible reads, today is the day of salvation. Today, right now. And the point of it all is, we've got to do something with renewing our thought about the power of God, and how it flows through us. And the thing is, just recently I ran into a guy who is now moving in almost a regular flow of miraculous healing. So I said, how'd that happen? He said, I got a revelation that today is the day of salvation. And he said that I went and prayed for people. I had to pray for 127 people before I saw my first miracle. But I've had a breakthrough, and it's just like a river that is flowing, and it's like something, like a gain place of intercession in the Holy Ghost. It says it was there all the time, but something in here was holding it back. And I sense that that is the message that the Lord wants to deliver us as a church to us right now, and say, come on, folks. You know, opportunities surround us, and the power of God is about us. It's just a matter of believing the Word of God, and the fact that today, right now, is our day of salvation. Let's release it, and let's go out and begin to go for a breakthrough. And this is where we're going to go with this. We're going to challenge each another. At some point, we're going to have a leg stretching service. Okay, we're going to stretch legs and arms, and correct curvatures and spines, to just show you that that power is resident within us right now. And we're going to demonstrate that sort of thing. But that's another time. But we want to be a people that are comfortable in the miraculous, because we've been called to be a supernatural people. He said that in my name you shall preach. In my name you shall heal the sick. You shall cast out devils, and you shall raise the dead. That is just non-negotiable. Okay, he's called us to be a supernatural people. Let's do it. Okay, what's in the way? Well, it says in Hebrews that they didn't enter into their inheritance because of unbelief. So what are we going to do? We're going to believe, and we're going to enter into our inheritance. All right, so let's stand. And let's just honor the Lord this morning by bowing our hearts.